Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by IT Pro TV, the fun and entertaining way to sharpen your IT skills. Visit itpro.tv/allaboutandroid and use code AAA30 to get a free 7-day trial and 30% off a monthly membership for the lifetime of your active subscription. And by WordPress. Make WordPress.com your online home. Plans start at just $4 a month. Go to WordPress.com/allaboutandroid to get 15% off your brand new website today. And by Hover. Register a domain name with Hover and build your online brand today. Go to Hover.com/twit and save 10% off your first purchase. Hello and welcome to All About Android. This is episode 352, recorded on Tuesday, January 16th, 2018. We are your weekly source for latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Florence Ion.
Hello, everyone. How are we doing?
Hello.
Welcome back from CES.
Thank you.
You survived.
I wish I was still sleeping. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah?
Yeah, I need to sleep for like 2 days. I'm so tired.
Did you get the con flu, though? The
CES sickness? Fortunately, I didn't. Mm-hmm. It looks like.
Good.
Knock on. But I'm definitely tired.
Yet? You haven't gotten it yet.
I mean, it takes some while to incubate, right?
Yeah, it can be a creeper.
Yeah.
It can. Well, we're really happy to have you back. And we are super delighted to welcome to the show for the very first time, Corey Ladislaw, who is you are a number of things. You are a Google developer expert. You are an Android development consultant, Android developer, of course. You are an author. What else have you done? You've done a lot of things. Like in writing this, I was like, man, I don't know how I could summarize it. You would probably be best to summarize it.
I mean, I don't really have a short summary. It's just I speak, I do this, I do that. So yeah, I think you got most of the things. I write or manage Android developers or write Android code, speak a lot, been doing keynotes for the last 2 years, which has been an interesting challenge. I wrote an ebook, doing some video courses, and right now I'm on a creative sabbatical. So that's been a lot of fun, taking time off and doing things like drawing at museums for 4 months.
Oh,
that's amazing.
That's awesome. Cool. To kind of reinvigorate, re-inspire you in the other facets of your life, that sort of thing?
Yeah. So I've just been trying to figure out exactly what I want that next step to be. So I'm just taking some time to take some stock and figure out where I want to be and what I want to do. And I'm still a work in progress, but it was really nice just to kind of hang out at the Tate mostly in London for a few months. I also spoke at a few conferences, so I was flying around and traveling for that.
Yeah, I've noticed you've done a lot of speaking. If you just do a search for Corey's name on YouTube, you're going to find a whole bunch of your speaking engagements. What would you say, I mean, in a lot of these appearances that you've had, keynote talks, that sort of stuff, what would you say your overarching kind of message is in that role as a developer talking to other developers?
Yeah, so the two major ones I'm most passionate about, and one is caring about emerging markets. So I did the keynote for that one for a year and a half or so. And then most recently, I've been talking about the creative technologist. So it's been, how do you bring creativity into your technology day to day, and how do you build that creative muscle, and how do you expand your creativity by doing art or other things that can add creativity to your life?
Well, that's awesome.
I love that.
I would love to be able to take a break from I think everyone would benefit from being able to kind of step outside their normal life and be able to take like a creative sabbatical. Like I imagine just for like resetting your brain a little bit, or even challenging yourself in a different way, proving to yourself that you can do this thing that's so far outside of anything you would normally do. And to, like you say, see what kind of doors that opens. That's really inspiring.
Yeah. It's been really good because there was a lot of change in the last year or two personally. So it's been really nice to just kind of take that time and recenter.
Absolutely. Totally understand that. Well, it's great to have you on, Corey. We, of course, with the show, we talk a lot about a lot of different news items. Then a little bit later, we'll get in and we'll review some apps. We've got four apps for the arena this week, but we've got a lot of news to discuss, some heavy topics as well. We discuss Huawei's crushed U.S. carrier ambitions. I don't know if it qualifies to the level of crushed, but I feel like so. You know, they were a little disappointed in that. LG's limited flagship release plans. Samsung's foldable smartphone prototype pops its head up again, and apparently some people at CES got a chance to look at it. This is not a laptop in front of me that I'm probably firing off. This is a Google Home.
There you go.
Okay, stop. Google Home Max. And my laptop is behind it, by the way. But anyways, I'm going to review this because I've been playing around with this for like 3 weeks now. And I love it. Face matching selfies with modern art. I think we all did that challenge.
Yes, we did. And we all helped contribute to Google's machine learning.
For better or for worse. It's hard not to jump into that bandwagon.
We lined up to populate that database.
As we do with everything that Google does. It's a sickness. It really is. And a whole lot more. And that's what we got. We're going to dive right in with some of the top stories here with the news, Victor.
Despite intense pressure, there's no cutting ties with Android news.
You recovered. That's what it's all about, man.
Yeah, I think I salvaged it.
When you fall off the bike, you just got to hop back on and keep riding. That's what they say anyways. What they say with the news bumper anyways. No, they never say that. Huawei is having a difficult time positioning its devices in U.S. carrier stores.
Still.
This isn't a challenge isolated to just Huawei, but Huawei had big ambitions. Right.
As of like 3 years ago, 4 years ago is when it started. I just want to preface it with that this has been going on for like
thank you.
Since 2014.
Yes, this is not a short-term issue here. No. Huawei was set to announce its partnership with AT&T at the Consumer Electronics Show last week with the Mate 10 Pro that was apparently going to be in carrier stores.
There were ads for it in Vegas announcing this availability.
Wow, but last minute, AT&T canceled the deal. Huawei has also sought a deal with Verizon as well, similar deal, but that's not likely to happen for the same reason. What is the reason? Well, it seems to all point back to members of Congress who lobbied against the deals with federal regulators. There's a proposed bill that would block U.S. government contracts with telecom companies that do business that use Huawei or ZTE equipment. And outside of phones, which is what we talk about a lot on this show, we talk about the phones that they do. They also make and sell a lot of networking equipment. And back in 2011, there was a congressional investigation that found that these companies were, quote, at the direction of the Chinese Communist Party.
Yes.
And as such instilled, a lack of trust in the American government, in the U.S. government, that these devices weren't, in fact, that they couldn't be, or they could rather, be commandeered by the Chinese government to intercept communications. And as such, we shouldn't have that in the U.S. government because that doesn't sound very secure. So this is all like related, right, Flo?
Related.
I mean, it all kind of points.
Well, I'm
back
just
to
like
itself.
Thinking about why now we are scared. Why now there are maybe American businesses that have trepidation about getting into business with a Chinese-based company, and I would think that because the current administration has made it known that's a huge market we are competing with.
Sure.
So.
Part of it absolutely has something to do with the current administration, I would imagine. It's also, but it is a bipartisan concern, and it does stretch far earlier than just the Trump administration.
Absolutely. I just find it very interesting that this is all like still coincide. This is all still happening.
Yeah.
This is all still.
I know.
Anyway,
it's kind of
that's
exhausting.
Where my brain is going.
What do you guys think? I mean, would you like to see Huawei devices, ZTE devices in carrier stores? Do you think this is a lot of, an overreaction, let's say? What do you think? Sorry, I didn't direct that at anyone.
Let's hear from Corey.
Apologize. Corey, what do you think about this?
I kind of echo Florence's, like, is this still going on? It's better to have more choice, but obviously if there's going to be some security concerns around it, then we should be a little bit more careful.
Yeah. makes sense that the government would be concerned about that, considering their history with this topic.
Not to mention, how difficult is it going to be bringing in like another smartphone brand with the number of ones that have already taken over our advertising slots? Like, we've got a lot of brands here that are really competing for our eyes. We have Motorola, we have Samsung, we have LG, we have Google, we have Apple.
Well, yes, there are a lot of brands. There's always room for more competition,
sure,
right?
But there's not a lot of room to teach all those employees at those carrier stores, like, to give them the proper knowledge to be able to sell these phones to consumers.
Right.
Because I imagine a lot of these places are incentivized by how much education they get on each of these phones. And of course, Samsung and Apple have people, recruiters or whatever they're called, in the carriers that are helping inform the sellers about mm-hmm. what's what. And it's just, to put a phone to sell it here has so, there's so much that you have to invest in it because you have to do so much outreach.
Huawei as a company, as a phone manufacturer, is definitely no spring chicken, right?
No,
like they're like one of, are they the third or fourth?
Fourth. Yeah. I was really surprised by that.
Yeah.
Yep. So, I mean, you know, they have a lot of experience. The challenge, of course, when it comes to the U.S. market is that it's so carrier store driven. All these companies have some sort of a presence here. It's just you have to know about the brand. You have to buy it purposefully through their site or, you know, through Amazon or whatever, unlocked on the web. And just for the majority of American buyers, that's not a practice that's very familiar. But
it's
in
not.
Other places,
because a lot of people don't understand the idea of the unlocked phone. Maybe it wasn't really, they weren't really told about it because we know our carriers to be so proprietary and keep us locked in, especially back in the day when they subsidized our phones more.
Yeah.
Now it's kind of, it's just a really tricky market. I'm also just sort of curious about the fact that this seems pretty limited right now to Huawei and ZTE, two like very big overseas companies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why are they having all this trouble?
Well, I mean, in regards to these two companies, it seems like a large part of that is the whole networking hardware aspect, and you know that you can't even get that hardware in U.S. government contracts anymore for this very reason.
Yeah.
Now it's kind of expanding out to where the government says, "Well, we won't even do business with a carrier." That does business with Huawei or ZTE, that carries their phones and has some sort of a business contract with them. So it's broadening that out. Huawei CEO Richard Yu was at, did you go to the Huawei keynote?
I didn't, but I totally read this. Totally read about it.
Yeah.
I didn't go, but I read it.
Well, the CEO, Richard Yu, basically went off script during the CES keynote. At the very end, did the whole, the whole presentation for the Mate, what is it, the Mate 10 Pro.
Yeah.
But then at the very end, and people were there looking at the prompter to see, and they were like, oh, sure enough, there's nothing there. He's off script for probably a good 5 minutes talking, just kind of giving some sort of, straight shooting kind of talk about how disappointing this was, how limiting it was for consumer choice. It really seemed like Huawei saw this as their big opportunity to break into the U.S. market in a big way, and for 2018, and they kind of don't have that opportunity as a result of this. I don't know whether that's a good or a bad thing. It just is.
It's a challenging thing because part of it is that we've kind of moved. This reminds me a lot of the foreign cars coming into America in the 60s and 70s and 80s. Like this kind of thing where there was a lot of pushback on Japanese cars and things like that. Now, Hyundai and, Honda, stuff like that, they're common, they're household names. And I think a lot of it is that we have moved to a global economy and a global marketplace. But, like we touched on a lot of the political leanings and the kind of the world that we live in today, there's an attempt to pull it back to more of a nationalistic kind of approach and a fear of China and that sort of thing. And for me, I want the most amount of choice for myself as well as other consumers and customers. And I don't really feel a lot of nationalistic pride, like, you know, it's got to be an American company or stuff like that. It's wherever you get the best piece of equipment from, wherever, you know, whether it's a Chinese phone or an Indian phone or a Korean phone, or, you know, I don't see how you make a distinction. Samsung's okay because they're South Korean, but Huawei's not okay because they're Chinese. You know, it just, like, that distinction to me just seems very antiquated in this global world that we live in now. Yeah. But maybe maybe I'm a little Pollyanna, but I don't know.
Yeah, he was in his keynote, he was talking about trust and having to earn trust over time. And they've done that with a lot of the different products in a lot of different markets. And that was really interesting that they partnered with the UK government to have them do some oversight to make sure that there's no security flaws and stuff. Mm. So that's how they ended up breaking into the UK market.
There you go. Yeah. Anyways, interesting nonetheless. Huawei, I mean, the hardware that they produce and the price point that they hit with that quality of hardware, and ZTE to a large degree does this as well, but Huawei's really known for this right now, it would make it, I think, pretty palatable to the U.S. market if it was presented in a way that it kind of has to be in order to make it here, and that's in the carrier. So I can understand their disappointment. I can also understand the other side if there's actually something concrete there. If there's a there, then I get it. I guess I don't know for sure if there is a there.
There is a there.
Is there a there? There.
All right. Somewhere out there.
You know what there is? There's $100 billion in Xiaomi's pocket. That's a Chinese brand that's managed to hit it big without even bothering with the U.S. market.
No kidding.
So Xiaomi, which we've all heard about, could be on the brink of an IPO targeting a $100 billion valuation. That is huge.
Wow. Dang.
Xiaomi did this while focusing on Chinese and Indian market and foregoing the U.S. and Europe. So see,
it's
you don't
possible.
Need us.
Yeah, you don't need
you
us
don't
anyway.
Need us at all. It's the second largest manufacturer in India behind Samsung. Its strategy is less about U.S.-European dominance and more about targeting emerging markets, which is where this phone is, where these brands of phones are, this brand of phones are quite popular.
Absolutely.
I had a hard time with that sentence. anyway, that bet is paying off, obviously. It launched the Mi A1, the first Android One device in 40 markets, which definitely helped sort of beef up its presence in those emerging markets. And it's worth noting that Facebook actually
This is an adventure with you, Fletcher. This is great.
You know why? It's because the coffee's starting to kick in, and now my tongue is moving faster than I can talk.
It's the post-CES. That's what it is.
I quite like
it. It's also the post-CES. I really need to, like, I should have slept for a couple days. Starting that over, Facebook IPO, originally $104 billion valuation. Also worth noting, did you guys see, and this is not mentioned here, and I'm going to try and bring this up very quickly, Hugo Barra? Shaking hands with Xiaomi, Hugo Barra of now Oculus.
Uh-huh.
They made a little handshake at CES.
What do you think it means? What does it mean?
I mean, it means exactly what...
It means they were saying hi? Were they saying hi to each other? yeah, who knows? Who knows what's going on there? I think they were just being friendly.
It's the Oculus Go. It's built by Xiaomi. That's what...
There we go. I didn't see that news, actually.
It was actually kind of quiet news. It didn't, for some reason, splash. VR was not a thing at CES this year.
Interesting.
It just wasn't really. They were there, but that's not what people were interested in.
So emerging markets. Xiaomi has proven to be really adept at its strategy for emerging markets. We happen to have someone on today who focuses a whole lot on emerging markets. Corey, in your work and your time talking about these topics, like, what is your impression about Xiaomi and what it's doing right for emerging markets?
Yeah, well, it sounds like they're creating premium phones at a low price, which is kind of what needs to happen. You can't just create the cheapest ones and throw it out there and have everybody use it. And now people will use them, of course, because the more affordable, people are going to pick them up. But it's nice that you can meet a bunch of different segments in those markets whenever you're going for mid-range and high-range with those bigger, those better devices. Mm-hmm. I just think it's really interesting that they didn't even have to bother with the West at all. And they're creating, you know, factories in India and stuff to make it even cheaper, so they don't have to deal with import export taxes and things like that. So I was unclear if they were doing Android One, like following that spec, or if they're just kind of creating their own version. Do y'all know about that?
You mean the Mi A1, the Android One device?
I believe they're following spec.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure with that one they're following spec. I have to imagine that Android One, just as an effort, has a certain spec that must be hit in order to actually qualify.
So that hasn't been absolutely transformative yet, right. But I'm hoping to see more and more phones that will help to make that a little bit better, so that you don't have to support as many old OSs throughout the world and can just focus on the newer API levels.
Well, and that's an interesting point that you bring up about Android One, because I remember, you know, I think we all remember when it was announced a couple of years ago, it was like, wow, this is really big, reaching the next billion, and just kind of, you know, but I guess when Android One started coming out, we already had a number of low cost premium-ish or, you know, high-quality devices mm-hmm. hitting the market. So Android One maybe missed the boat a little bit on kind of like catching that wave or setting that wave for others to follow. Kind of felt like they were kind of tagging along. What has been your take on Android One from the standpoint of it being Google's specific effort for these markets? I mean, are they being outdone by other companies like Xiaomi in that regard?
Yeah, I can't comment very deeply on that because I haven't been following the manufacturers and the phones as much, more of the development side of it and making sure that your phones work better in the emerging markets. But it still seems like Android One didn't just take over and then everybody just started following that. It sounds like there are more and more. I'm not a hardware knowledgeable person.
Fair enough. Cool. So, I mean, Xiaomi, I keep holding out for, you know, the day when Xiaomi will actually be able to release a phone here, because I really like Xiaomi hardware, but it kind of sounds like, you know, they don't need us. They don't need the US.
They don't need us. And maybe they should hang out with Huawei and they can talk about.
I think they do.
I mean,
Go
for it.
Okay. So I was just saying that the article also mentioned that you could actually get it in high-end markets like UK and here, but it's like really hard to do so. You have to go through a bunch of different channels.
Yeah, I mean, there are ways. There are ways to import it in, and, you know, sometimes it's as easy as going on to Amazon and finding it that way or whatever. But
Or AliExpress.
Yeah, AliExpress. Yeah. Yes, friend of the show, AliExpress. Ron, what were you going
to
say?
I was going to say, going back to my comments earlier, it goes to show how big the world actually is. And you got to wonder, you know, while Huawei wants, you know, everybody wants the glory that is Apple on the iPhone, Xiaomi's being smart and just chasing the dollars and building a strong business, which, you know, a true global business. Yep. So, you know, it's not always about being the sexy device. It's being about the device that actually is connecting with people and being and actually driving revenue. I think that's bravo on Xiaomi for recognizing that and moving on.
Yeah. What does that say about us as the American market, that this is like not – that we're not getting this much choice or having these brands over here? Like, what does that say about our market being so difficult to enter? That's
– I mean, it's – I think that's –
I think it says more about the carriers than the manufacturers. Yeah. I think that's we've always said the biggest problem, someone said the biggest problem with all these mobile devices is the carriers, you know, between, you know, the deals and the limits and the subsidies and all this sort of stuff. Carriers seem to be the problem here, where you don't have that problem in other countries.
Yeah.
Because you have choice.
I think you're spot on.
We don't even have very much choice on carriers as it is here. We can only really pick from, I mean, we have MVNOs, but a lot of them are owned by all the big four, by one or two of the big four.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna go to having a little less choice in the phone market, at least, as LG is going to stop releasing new phones every year, which is kind of startling when you think about that statement. After having 11 straight quarters of earnings losses, that's 11 straight quarters, that equates to just under 3 years of losses. They're changing their strategy when it comes to devices. They're pulling away from releasing a new flagship phone every year. They're moving to more of a, quote, when it is needed and not just because other rivals do it. They're going to stick with existing models longer by offering variant models. Related to this, there were rumors late last year that point to HTC paring back the number of devices it releases in 2018, but not sacrificing a flagship release like LG is doing here. And I got to say, from a business standpoint, bravo, LG.
Yeah.
Don't play the keeping up with the Joneses game, especially when you've got a great phone like LG has been able to make for how many years. Like the fact that they've suffered earnings losses for the past 3 years does not equate to the fact that I think for the past, and Flo, correct me if I'm wrong, at least 2 years, we've recommended an LG phone as a phone people should check out.
Yeah.
So
I'm thinking this is the first year actually in a while that we've actually really said, go get an LG flagship or go get an LG premium device. It was this year that I actually suggested to people, and I've been suggesting mostly the LG V30 at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the suggestion a lot of people have.
And if you're at CES, if you went to CES, LG had this giant booth, as it naturally does. It's a big display manufacturer after all. But they were really showing off a lot of like the connected home, how they're integrating this new ThinQ platform, which I realize sounds silly, but it really is about integrating assistants, the Google Assistant and the Amazon Assistant, which I'm not going to say because I don't want to trigger anything, really integrating those into their existing product lineup that people know them for. So you've got the OLED TVs, which have the Web OS built in, which is pretty great. You've got it built in like the appliances. You've got it built in all these different parts of the LG ecosystem. And they're even launching smart speakers and the Google Assistant with displays. I forget what it's called now.
Oh yeah,
the new initiative.
The home displays. What are they called?
Yeah, they were one of the four that announced one last week, and so I see like it's doing more of a, you know what, we're just going to focus on getting more of our ecosystem into your home right now versus trying to compete
the with smart displays as they were calling them, Lenovo, Sony, JBL, and LG.
Yeah.
Those are going to need product. Category. Those are going to need product names, by the way. Smart display or Google Home with a screen is not going
to
work.
I was trying to think of how to write it today. I was writing something, and I'm like, I have no idea what to classify these as. I have no idea. I guess smart displays.
Meanwhile, next year, this time, we'll all have one.
Oh, right? Yeah. No, I will probably have four in like 3 months. Let's be real.
Let's be real. We have an email from Darren in Columbus, Ohio, who says, just used Android Pay for the first time at a Dunkin' Donuts in Columbus, Ohio. It was faster than using a credit card. I finally feel like I'm living in the future, except my phone is a Galaxy 5. So I guess I'm not quite there yet. But thanks for all the info on Android Pay. It helped me feel comfortable using the service. That's what it's all about. I still am not that comfortable with Android Pay or Google Pay or whatever they're calling it these days. Corey, is this part of your payment routine, you turning to Google Pay or Android Pay to pay for your things instead of pulling out a card? I can't get into that habit. Can you?
No, not really. Although there was one day where I forgot my credit card and I don't know. I had to go through this whole thing where I needed to pay the bike place I was at to fix my tire. And I ended up paying with Android Pay. But that was just random. I have it set up in my phone. I think I use it to pay randomly stuff, but it's just not something I really do. And I spent 3 months in Europe last year. I just really want the cards you can just tap and go. They use them everywhere. I guess you could do that with your phone too, but you still have to open up your app and say, I think you do, and then say, I want to pay instead of just like tap and go.
So, okay. So I'm not familiar with how it's done in Europe. It's been a long time.
Oh, there's Wi-Fi actually. Cards.
Yeah, there's Wi-Fi.
Oh, okay. And they're just like credit card form factor?
They're a credit card, and you just, instead of swiping it, you touch to the little thing.
It's built into the credit card.
So how long until we get that? Or do we not get that?
It's a security. It's the same. We're having problems with the chip readers. But to that end, that's why I'm using Android Pay, which I, by the way, call Apple Pay at Starbucks because they don't know it is any other way. So I just go, yes, I'm going to use Apple Pay. And then I whip out my Pixel, and they go, what kind of phone is that? And it's like, well, obviously, you don't know.
Victor, if you want to take my overhead shot, I do the same. Flo, I walk into a store and I say, I'd like to use Apple Pay. And actually, it's this iPhone X that I have to use for 6 weeks.
Now, if you want to explain to the listeners why you're
Yeah, we should probably let our listeners know what...
If they don't know...
What contract you've signed.
Yeah, I didn't know I was signing this contract. Okay,
well,
This time last year, Megan Maroney and I, we do a show together. Then it was Tech News Today. Now it's Tech News Weekly. She's, you know, diehard iOS. I'm lifelong Android. Never had played around with iOS before. We did a month swap of phones to see what it was like on the other side. And it was an interesting month. I learned a lot about iOS. Here it is a year later, and she said, "You want to do it again?" And I was like, "Okay, yeah, sure," because you can always learn more. And then during the show, she said, "And we're doing it for 6 weeks." I had no idea that we were doing it for 6 weeks. Apparently, I'm using an iPhone 10 for 6 weeks, but that's where we're at right now. Hey, it's good to learn these things. It's good to know what it's like living on the other side, right?
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Actually, Corey, prior to Android, you were iOS. I know that. I know that much, right? You've talked about that a couple of times in some of your keynotes that were on YouTube.
Yeah.
What prompted you to switch? What? Tell us the story behind that.
Well, basically, iOS and the iPhone was, you know, one of the major things that came out. So I just bought that at first, but I really hated AT&T. So I decided to switch as soon as my contract was up. Mm-hmm. And I was working at Comcast as an iOS developer, but only for like 2 or 3 months. And then they needed the Android team started. So I started the Android team and just happened to get an Android phone from Verizon at that time. And that was Motorola X, and that was awful.
Yes.
And I returned it. And then I got the HTC Incredible, and I absolutely loved it.
Oh,
yes.
The Incredible.
That was the phone.
That was a good phone.
That opened the floodgates.
Yeah. I missed that phone. It was perfect size.
I had it for 3 years.
I really missed that phone. And then there was a time, actually, so last year, so I had an LG G4, which I really loved too, but then I cracked it and then it went into an infinite reboot loop. So I briefly bought an iPhone. So I got like the pink one. And then 3 months later, when I started at Pinterest, I got a Pixel and I've been back on Android. So it was like 3 months in the middle of many years of Android. And I do have an iPad, which I really love because I use it for drawing and use the Apple Pencil.
Yes. Okay. That's a good use too. I have a couple of artist friends and they swear by it. I'm not sure that the Pixelbook with the Pixelbook pen could quite stand up.
It's not
to that.
From what I've heard, it's not the same as the iPad Pro.
Not even close. I briefly played with the stylus on one of those, and it was good. But it does not feel like I'm drawing on paper like it does with the iPad.
Yeah, that's important. Cool. Well, thank you for that. Yes, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to bring an iPhone onto the show. You know, sometimes
you don't have to.
Sometimes, well, I feel like
you
I
really
had to.
Don't have to.
I feel like I had to at least one time in 6 weeks, because then if you know if it's off on the side, you happen to catch it, there's at least an explanation for it. This is what I'm using tonight. We'll talk about this in a second, but let's take a break. We're going to thank the sponsor of this episode of All About Android, and then we'll dive into some hardware news. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by IT Pro TV. And, you know, it's a new year. You probably have some resolutions. Maybe you're looking to kind of spice up your resume, or you're considering an exciting new career in technology. Make your professional resolutions a reality this year, and you can do it with the help of the content that you'll find on IT Pro TV. IT Pro TV offers over 3,300 hours of on-demand training with more than 125 hours added weekly. All kinds of topics. You can stream IT Pro TV's courses live and on demand worldwide. You can use Chromecast, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, PC. You can also use their iOS or Android apps. IT Pro TV does IT live every day, so you know you're getting the most current IT training. It's easy to stay up to date. Courses include such courses as Certified Ethical Hacker, Kali Linux, Linux Security Techniques, ITIL, ISC2's Security Certs, and a whole lot more. That's just hardly even scratching the surface. You can check out IT Pro TV's team solution for group pricing and access to the IT Pro TV supervisor portal. You'll gain full control over your team's training schedule. You can put them to work on all the content, create custom groups and training assignments. You can see individual and group analytics. You can also view logins, viewing time, how much time they're watching, the video downloads, course completion, tracking, and a whole lot more. People are using IT Pro TV to improve their lives and get their dream jobs. That's
actually what happened for James Packer, who discovered IT Pro TV, got his whole team to dive into that content. He incentivized their learning through the service. And ultimately, in the end, he was offered a better job. And it was in the Cayman Islands, literal paradise. So his dream job, James attributes his qualifications for that dream job to his time learning while watching IT Pro TV. Join the more than 85,000 IT Pro TV members today and get the IT job you've always dreamed of. Friendly training, binge-worthy content, life-changing results. Visit itpro.tv/allaboutandroid. Make sure and use the code AAA30 for a free 7-day trial when you sign up for an individual monthly membership. You'll also receive 30% off your subscription for the lifetime of your active subscription. And then premium subscriptions, which include unlimited transcender practice exams and virtual labs, are normally $857 a year, but you only pay $600 a year when you go to itpro.tv/allaboutandroid. And again, make sure to use the code AAA30. And if you're interested in learning more about IT Pro TV's team solution, you can sign up for a free demo of their supervisor portal. And that's all there is to it. itpro.tv/allaboutandroid, code AAA30. And we thank IT Pro TV for their support of All About Android. All right, we got some pretty chunky hardware news. It's chunky. Let's do it. I don't know what that means, but it is.
Chunky.
It's chunky hardware. And I almost missed this first one because it seemed to break.
I completely missed it too, actually, just to be in all honesty. What we missed was a huge Droid Life scoop, is Motorola's entire 2018 smartphone release schedule, with specifications and renders. So here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Buckle up. You're in for a ride for the exciting Moto Z3 and Z3 Play, which are the flagships. These are 6-inch borderless display smartphones with no visible fingerprint sensor. Is it under display? Is it somewhere else?
I don't know.
We don't know. Moto Mod with 5G branding. So we see that's going to be a thing this year.
Yeah, we're going to see a lot of that. ZTE, by the way, I didn't mention it earlier. Yes. They said they were going to have the first 5G smartphone to release this year. So this is the year of 5G.
Fun fact, They already put 5G towers in Sacramento.
So if
we want to go check it out, we just have to take a little 2-hour drive.
Cool.
So if you're feeling up to
it, tower.
We could just go look at the tower and be like, hey.
Someday I'll have a phone that works with you.
Someday, like 3 years from now. Yeah. Next up is the Moto X5. This has got slim bezels, 5.9-inch display, so still pretty big display. It's got a notch at the top like Jason's new little iPhone 10, whatever it is. Dual cameras, Moto Smart AI, and again, no visible fingerprint sensor.
It's a thing with the whole lineup.
It better be embedded somewhere, because let me tell you, the last time somebody didn't have a fingerprint sensor, they were called Sony, and what happened to them now in the United States?
I doubt they'd get rid of it entirely, or they'll replace it with something, yeah.
For the G fans, the Moto G6, G6 Play, and G6 Plus are also coming. They have all-glass bodies. The G6 Play is a 5.7-inch display with a 16:9 ratio, 4,000 milliamp battery. The G6 and G6 Plus have 5.7-inch displays, 5.7 and 5.93-inch displays, respectively, as an 18:9 ratio, which is what the V30, the G6, the
longer,
GS8,
slender,
the Note 8, they all have that ratio. Inside, they have a Snapdragon 450, so relatively mid-range processor with 3 or 4 gigs of RAM, or 32 or 64 gigs of storage, as well as dual cameras. And lastly, we have the Moto E5,
which
is similar
to, sorry, Victor,
to the Moto E4, but it has a fingerprint on the back, which is where the fingerprint belongs forever and ever. I don't care what you say. Don't at me.
Not even under the display, as seems to be what manufacturers
are. I do not unlock things with my thumb. I unlock things with my index fingers on either side. I'm not a thumb unlocker. I'm sorry. I never got into it.
Are you a thumb unlocker, Corey?
Only on the iPad sometimes.
Oh, yeah, because that's on the front. Yeah,
I have like three or four fingers programmed.
Yeah, yeah. One thing I noticed while you were reading this, Victor, if you go back to the Z3 or the X5, either of those I think shows it. And then we'll talk, and then we'll end up going back to the G6 to show the photos. But on the Z3 or the X5, if you show that on screen, down at the very bottom underneath the launcher, you see the little, you know, embedded in the display is the little kind of like long, I don't know, what is that, a cylinder or something?
That's a speaker.
No, look, in the display. Mm-hmm. See that little graphic down there?
Chloe Enhance.
Now go to the G6, which does have a fingerprint sensor in the hardware. Sorry to have you jump through fiery hoops.
Thank you, Victor.
Yeah, and thank you for all of your work. thank you for your service to this show, Victor.
Victor, you are the Chloe to my Jack.
Sorry, the wrong direction. Sorry. Well, okay, well, what I've noticed is that both on the Z3 and the X5, that shape matches the actual fingerprint sensor that is on the G6. So I'm guessing that is probably underneath the glass.
All right.
Right?
That's like the landmark for it. Guess who else will probably have it underneath the glass? Everybody else. That will be the new hip thing to do this year if you don't have it on the back.
Do you think Samsung's going to have it under the glass?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not going to even show. It's just going to be there, and they're going to be like, just touch. It's magic.
The whole screen is a sensor.
They'll do a whole advertisement that's just like, touch it anywhere and unlock it. That's what it'll be.
That'll be the tagline. Touch it anywhere.
Just touch it anywhere.
How do we feel? I mean, it's kind of our job to talk about things that leak. We do it all the time. But it's January, and this is possibly Motorola's entire year's worth of releases all spilled out in graphic detail. There is a possibility
this
that
is like
this
me
is
at
fake.
A girl sleepover. I'm just going to give you every little detail about my life in like 2 hours.
I mean, this is kind of damaging for Motorola, right?
Why is it damaging?
For everyone to know right up front every little detail
about
their phones?
But it's the same thing they've been doing for the last like 3 years. This is the same schedule that they've adhered to all these years.
Yeah, but you get a lot of details here.
That's fair.
Perhaps damaging from a competition perspective, because all their competition knows how to rework their marketing as they lead up to compete.
That's fair.
Potentially.
But maybe they're also like, we got to capture you now while you're still like, you know, tired and hungover from Christmas and New Year's and CES now. We're going to catch you now before anybody else can get to you.
What do you guys think? Is this, Ron, Corey, is this either of your new phone going forward? I'm guessing probably no, but...
No, I mean, I love my Pixel 2 and I just bought it. I would be still on the Pixel 1, but I dropped it in a toilet, so I had to replace it.
Before they were water resistant.
Yes. That happened to me, actually. Same phone, same scenario, and the phone survived.
Was it
survived
the
year that was required. What's that?
Was it the blue one?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh.
What? I talked about this on the show already.
Yeah, true. I just like the blue one. This is not my next phone. I too like my Pixel, but I do like Motorola, and I will keep an open mind if I get my hands on it and play with it. I will definitely. They surprised me last year. I think they could surprise me this year, but I don't know if I'm jumping at it.
Yeah.
I will definitely probably get a bunch of G6s, put them in a closet, and I know in a couple months. I know this year at least three people are going to ask me, Flo, I ruined my phone. Do you have an Android phone I can borrow? And it's always a Moto. I always give them a Moto and they always say, thanks. This really helped me until I was able to like get the phone I really wanted. Aww. So Moto, that's where you fit in.
It's like the side phone.
It's
the side phone is what it is. It's never the object of affection. It's just the side phone.
Okay, sorry. That's too patriarchal. We're not going there.
Poor Motorola. But hey, we know now. All right, Ron, you got the next one.
Yeah, so those of you who purchase phones from OnePlus.net, we're talking about the practice of buying phones directly from the manufacturer's website. If you recently purchased something on OnePlus.net, it's possible your credit card has been stolen, according to some reports. So go look at your credit card bills. A OnePlus forum thread now has about 100 to 200 customers who say fraudulent activity appeared on their credit cards after their purchase of a OnePlus phone. OnePlus says their systems are secure with quote-unquote custom code that sends payment data to processing via encrypted connection. One day after those reports, OnePlus suspended credit card transactions on the site. still investigate, because they're still investigating them. That's the smart move. Don't assume any sort of guilt by them removing that. They're just doing the smart thing by protecting themselves and their customers. If you do want to buy a OnePlus phone, you can. PayPal is still accepted, so you can pay with PayPal. So buyer beware. But that said, at the same time, OnePlus put up for sale and then promptly sold out 2 hours later, the special edition sandstone white version of the 5T, and Jason has it. But I wonder, Jason, do you have credit card fraud at the same time?
No, they actually, okay, this is a unit direct from OnePlus. They sent it to me. Okay. So I did not have to sacrifice my credit card credentials. for this phone. But yeah, do you remember a couple of years ago with the OnePlus? I think it was the OnePlus 2 had that kind of sandstone-ish, kind of rough feeling back. And this is similar. It's not quite as rough. Ooh. But it almost feels like an eggshell.
Ooh, show that button.
Oh, what? Oh, this button?
Yeah.
The little toggle that's like red?
You know, that color scheme looks pretty familiar.
Yeah, doesn't it? The only thing it's missing is like a top half that's black.
And a Google logo, to be fair.
Yeah, that's true. But hey, for a lot of people, the OnePlus logo has
it's
a lot
so
of
pretty though. It, this looks like it should have been marketed for Star Wars, like as a stormtrooper thing.
Yeah, it is very nice though. OnePlus does good hardware. So does this mean that we reset the OnePlus clock of things that went wrong with OnePlus?
Yes. Yeah. This is bad. I mean, it's not a marketing mistake, but it's not good, Bob. That's for sure.
But that's kind of the reason I have to say that I use PayPal when I buy things online now, because I've just been.
Oh yeah, you know, I never think to use PayPal, but that's a really good
point. I just decided to just do everything through them. Like I used to just abhor PayPal because it was like the worst, but for some reason it's now since I went freelance and people started invoicing people through it and all this, it's like it's become my own little other portal.
And you get an extra layer of protection.
Yeah, and then PayPal. If something goes awry, I can just ask PayPal to block the call like I would my bank, or block the thing like I would my bank.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah.
Okay. any final words on OnePlus before we adjourn and move on to a review? No.
Meeting adjourned. Boom.
This right here in front of me, this beast, is the Google Home Max. It is so big you can't even see my laptop behind it. That's how big it is. So this is the Google Home that you get if A, you have $400 burning a hole in your pocket, and B, you want a Google Home that sounds really good.
Let's do it. Play me some music.
Okay, what song do you want? Because it's probably best to like judge a song you know really well, right? Something with a thumping beat, maybe. Oh, I didn't realize if you're going in the catacombs
to find this.
I just thought you'd have something off the top. Well, while you look for that, how about I talk a little bit about it?
Play some Annie Lennox.
No. I thought you said Justin Bieber and I stopped listening. Obviously, this is big. That was Burke, by the way, and of course he would recommend Justin Bieber. It's big. It booms. It has awesome sound. If having a really great stereo speaker with your Google Home is your priority, this is obviously the one to get. It has Assistant built in, dual 4.5 woofers, custom tweeters. You can actually, if you have $800 burning a hole in your pocket, you can get two of these, sync them up so that one acts as the left speaker, the other acts as the right. You can get that extreme stereo separation if you like. There are LED lights on the front that light up through the fabric, which I actually found to be really useful because we had it set up in our living room and, you know, we're firing off commands, and instead of having to look on the top like the regular Google Home to see a little swirling thing or whatever, this you could see it from clear in another room. It's really bright. You knew it was listening for you if it heard you do the call command, the wake command, because it's so loud that you would do the wake command and it wouldn't hear you. So you're basically yelling at it to try and get over the volume that it's putting out. So that's a little bit of a challenge.
Can I have it play a song?
Yes.
Sorry, everybody.
It that's not a command. Here's the album, everybody, on Google Play Music. Oh, apparently it. Is this what you wanted to play? Oh. Okay.
Play One More Time by Daft Punk.
Oh.
All right, One More Time by Daft Punk.
Why is it a male voice? That's really loud, by the way.
You have no idea, and we'll wait till it booms in. Yeah. You can choose male or female voice through the Google Home app.
Okay, right.
But yeah, by default, it was the male voice. I thought that was interesting.
Interesting.
Sorry, here we go.
No, it's a long...
Oh, dang it. The radio edit.
15 seconds.
There we go.
Okay, sounds all right. It sounds better if you're in front of it. Okay. Sorry, Ron.
So the show's over now. We're going to go have a dance party.
And you know what? You could have a dance party with the Google Home Max.
And that's the point, but that's the advertising that they were showing us, right? They were showing all the cool young people in
the
their nice
kids.
Fashionable clothes.
Diplo, right? It was Diplo, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Diplo.
Yes, it was Diplo,
right.
Who, by the way, does with Justin Bieber, or maybe that's Major Lazer. I don't know.
Why does everything point back to Justin
because
Bieber?
Because he's a big pop star. We can't do anything about it. I'm sorry.
All right. Anyways, I actually really liked my time with the Google Home Max. Obviously, the top is touch sensitive. So
that's a fantastic speaker.
It sounds really good.
That's
great. Here's what I really like about this because, okay, we just got our yard done, right?
Yes,
so we want to spend all this time out in our yard. We don't have a stereo system like channeled out there or anything. I almost feel like that's old school now. Like, this is what I would want. I would want a speaker with assistant embedded into
it.
Because then I can take this out and I don't have to go to it and do any control things. Like it controls music in the way that I'm used to controlling music now, which is with my voice. Because we have Google Home in every single room in our house.
Did you know that they are also making outdoor mesh Wi-Fi nodes just for this kind of thing?
I didn't,
so that
but
if
I do
you
now.
Need to bring,
dang it.
If you need to, I saw some at CES. So if you need to bring this outside into the backyard,
you can.
It'll work.
Corey, would you spend $400 on a really, really big Google Home speaker?
So question, I saw in their advertisement that they had like a record player.
Yeah.
Can you actually plug things into it? Does it have, the Chromecast sort of thing too? Okay.
It does. Yeah. It is Chromecast capable. It has a 3.5mm, input audio input jack in the back. So you can,
You show it in the camera?
I could if I...
Oh, is this super heavy?
Oh yeah. This thing's...
Well, this is good. We have to tell people about this. Let me move your laptop.
So there's USBs. Oh, sorry.
Does that plug come out or is that hard in it?
No, it comes out.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, so you can remove that. There's no battery in here, so you couldn't like remove that and have it be battery powered. That would be awesome, actually.
So that's USB-C or micro?
That is a USB-C port, so you could plug in. What did I find on that? Because I was like, what would you need that for? You can get an Ethernet adapter to get faster internet directly to it through the USB-C port.
Fascinating.
And then you could plug any audio source in here from like a line, through the line level.
And that notch up there, what is that notch?
This is the mute.
Sorry, mute. Okay.
Okay. Oh, cool.
Oh, okay. Thank you for telling me.
So you could plug in a record player with a... it's not an RCA jack though, so you would need.
Right.
Oh man, this is hurting my head.
Yeah, I know. So the 3.5mm input is nice to have, but you're probably going to do some gymnastics in order to get a record player in there. You're going to have some like a phono amplifier and router.
Yeah, because right now I have a huge set of records and also. Speakers. So it'd be nice to replace it with something like this.
Yeah,
but
totally.
It sounds like it's not really what I need there.
Yeah, I mean, this wouldn't be, I would say this probably isn't ideal if you're bringing a record player in. Their promotional material shows this with a record player.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're touting that as like an obvious, thing that you can do with
Chromecast
it. So it's possible.
Audio.
Chromecast
just
directly
Chromecast
from your record
audio,
player.
And then you could hook it up, another $35.
Yeah. But I mean, I will say that like for the flexibility that this gives you, like $400 is not an inexpensive, like that's not cheap necessarily.
No.
But there are other speakers like this. The Sonos One is in the same price range. It's probably the close comparable speaker.
Isn't that thing small compared?
I don't know. I didn't side by side them. I haven't played around with it myself.
To the Google.
But, it's really flexible, right? Like, I really liked being able to just plug this in, throw it outside. My kids are out there playing, and from across the yard, they can say, hey, G, play blah, blah, blah. And it totally did it because they love to do dance parties. That's just
Sonos
what they love to do.
Sonos is $200, by the way.
the Sonos One?
Yeah, so it's half the price of this one.
Wow. And maybe I'm getting it wrong, because there is another one that is on par with this. It's the Play One. That's what it is. It's the Sonos Play One. And it is... Is that right? No.
No, they have Play 1, Play 3, and Play 5.
I swear there is a Sonos 5.
It's the 5. That's $500.
Okay. That's what it is then. My apologies. Yep. And it even looks very similar. So it's $500. So this is cheaper than that. So I don't know.
Did you create any groups with like other homes in the house or
Absolutely.
Anything?
It ties right into the home network that you already have. It just becomes another speaker in there. And, you know, when you have a party, play in all rooms, and this thing's going to be playing in sync with everything else. And that's pretty in cool. sync the band, Ron.
Tearing up my heart.
Maybe that was directed at Flo.
And then I walk into the party, and I turn around and leave the party.
Like, oh, it's going to be that kind of party.
Oh, it's one of Flo's throwback parties.
Not good. Good, Bob.
Anyways, I don't know if I'm spending $400 of my own money on the Google Home Max, but I have enjoyed my time with it. It's going to be really hard to adjust to my lowly Google Home that is our normal living room speaker after having this in there. So maybe I will get one. I don't know. But I really liked it a lot.
Nobody
and it's $400.
Knows.
Oh, and by the way, we probably shouldn't wrap this up without mentioning that Google Home in general has been having some issues.
Yes,
a lot of
has.
People reporting that the Google Home, I think initially they thought it was isolated to the Max, but it seems to be all of them, are killing some Wi-Fi connections, basically overloading routers with thousands of packets at once. Initially, they thought it was only affecting TP-Link routers, but it seems like it's affecting more than that. I have not experienced this flow.
I have.
You have?
Yes. On and off, constantly. Every day, it's just been falling off the network, the Wi-Fi.
And just suddenly.
And the Chromecast, for instance, yesterday I was watching YouTube TV, and YouTube TV will just stutter all the time.
Oh,
so it'll stutter. Then I'll look on my phone and I'll see my phone has lost Wi-Fi connection. I'll get the little question mark in the Wi-Fi, which is I'm still at home. I didn't go anywhere. I'm still on the couch. Yeah, it's been annoying. Or I've woken up in the morning and I've had to repair the Google Homes. And some other instances, the Amazon devices fell off the network. The Nest security cams have fallen off the network. I've just been having up the wazoo problems with Wi-Fi since doing this whole IoT thing. So
I have not experienced this at all.
My Amazon device just doesn't get on the Wi-Fi anymore. It's just constantly complaining that it's lost its connection. I have to go configure it.
Yeah,
so that's really frustrating because my Wi-Fi is just dropping. But I haven't had to reconfigure the homes yet. Those seem to just be able to hook back up no problem.
Yeah, and our TD Victor also raised his hand when you mentioned that about the Amazon Echo doing that. So is doing that for you as well?
Yeah, I thought it was just me.
Yeah,
we're all suffering together.
Isn't that the best feeling when you find out that you're not alone? That's I'm having this. Yeah, everyone's having this problem.
We're all suffering together.
I think it's worth noting that with this is a new device category. Wi-Fi routers weren't exactly configured. I mean, they have been configured for this sort of thing, but I'm just imagining network traffic, everything that's going on. I need to learn how to look into this, how to fix it, how to make it better for myself, because this is putting me into a new realm of networking that I was not planning on venturing into.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be easy. I'm not supposed to have these problems.
Well, not too long ago, no one would have ever said networking is easy. And our change in thought about this has changed in the last couple of years. I feel like, you know, there's been this big push on getting these Wi-Fi mesh networks, like, you know, the Google
Wi-Fi, which is what I'm having problems with
and stuff. And you know, the whole purpose of that is spread out the Wi-Fi with a mesh network, but make it really easy so anyone can do it. And prior to that, like, I always wanted to do it, but I'm horrible at networking. And so it just seemed like it was way over my head. So it kind of stinks when suddenly it all comes crumbling down.
I really like the movement towards easier stuff to use, because I actually had a CCNA for a little bit because they made me at Cisco get one, and I just never really understood. I don't know. It's just never fun to network things. So not having to think about it in general is pretty great.
Yep. Agreed. All right. Flo, last in hardware, what you got?
Well, we've got another little teaser, I guess, from what's coming out of Samsung's camp later this year, or maybe next year, or maybe 5 years from now. So reportedly, the company showed off its foldable foldable smartphone prototype to lucky VIPs at CES. That foldable display was a 7.3-inch OLED that folds inward at a curvature of 0.1 millimeter and outward at a curvature of 0.5 millimeter. So basically, the 0.1 millimeter is essentially folding paper. Samsung is testing the limits of the display by bending it a dozen times per day, up to 200,000 folds. Imagine display origami, or at least that's what I am imagining. Lots of cranes being made. DJ Ko, who heads up Samsung, said to expect it later. So next year, actually, is when we can expect it. Samsung also plans to announce the Galaxy S9 at Mobile Congress next month, happening in Barcelona, Spain.
Barcelona.
Design is expected to be similar to the S8. Naturally, this is another iterative. Mm-hmm. This is the iterative year. EV Leaks has already shared info on the expected release schedule. So, friend of the show, EV Leaks, showed off that it's launching on February 26th with pre-orders beginning March 1st and ship release date March 16th, the day before St. Patty's Day. So when you are going out to your bar crawl, you'll have your new Samsung phone.
Lucky you.
To take pictures, although you probably don't want to share those photos.
Yeah, can, maybe don't.
Can we not let the S9 distract us from a foldable smartphone prototype? I feel like we just blew right past that, and we all know that's what I've been waiting for.
Did you see? So, Victor, I have a link in there for the patent, and if you fold down or down below the fold, you'll see.
Oh, that's genius. Look at this.
And who knows if this is actually it, but I mean, it kind of seems to fit the bill and as far as the 7.3 kind of stretched OLED display.
You know what? You know what this reminds me of? A couple of things. First off, it's 7 degrees in wherever they did the prototype. Secondly, it's probably Celsius, I know, whatever. Secondly, the sketch with the blue screen, and if you scroll up, you can see it. This reminds me a lot of a PDA I had from Sony back in like 2002 or 2003. That was like a long PDA, and it had a lid. And I don't think it was a dual display PDA, but it almost looks exactly like this design, which I think is fascinating. So, oh my God, I want a flexible display so badly.
The return of the PDA.
My understanding is this would be very helpful in a business travel situation or a present, or maybe Corey could really benefit from this for her talks. You could bring a display like this with you, unfold it, and then do your whole presentation and not have to worry if the venue where you're at has everything equipped
set up for you.
Yeah.
could you do would you be interested in a flexible display, Corey?
Sure. I'm not quite sure what I would use it for yet, but I do like the idea of using it as a portable projector and just need to be a large enough one to kind of like stick on the wall.
I believe LG has a rollable one too that they showed off.
Well, LG, I believe, had a TV.
Rolled up TV. Sorry, that's what I was
That's an interesting correlation to draw, right? Like we're seeing more and more of this in displays. And in LG's case, it was like a large format TV, like a 50 or 65 inch or something like that. And literally there's a box down at the base of it, and the TV would just roll up into a roll into the box and then come out.
Like a slap bracelet.
Pretty much like a slap bracelet. This is where displays are going right now.
By the way, thanks to the chat room, they pointed out I was remembering the Sony Clié PDA. And Victor, actually in our chat, you can see I found an image of the exact PDA that I had back in 2002. That I thought was like, this is the future.
The Clié. Okay. They're
the Clié, the PEG, PEG-NX70V.
This is the future right here.
Yeah, that was the future.
Oh my gosh. That's way more futuristic than some of the stuff we got going on now.
TV. I know. It had a camera. It had a keyboard. It had a button keyboard, like a hardware keyboard.
No, wait a minute. You had this?
I had this. Yep.
Oh, wow. Okay.
This reminds me of a laptop that I had. So it was, forget exactly what it was running, but it had a Windows Vista Business and it laid flat and I could write on it like a tablet, but then it's also the laptop too with its own screen.
Wow. It's all coming back around, isn't it? This is like...
It's like fashion.
Yeah, totally. It's all cyclical.
Bell bottoms and
soon we're going to be typing on
Commodore 64 keyboards again?
We already do with all the cherry, keyboards.
I guess so. There's a retro movement on the return of the clicky keyboards and all that kind of stuff.
I love the clicky keyboard. All right.
Yes.
Let's take a break.
All right. Let's do it.
Let's thank another sponsor. We want to thank WordPress for sponsoring this episode of All About Android. And listen, a lot of us here on the show, we all like to make things. And we know that when you make things and when you build something new, something that people can connect with, it's a lot easier when you've got the right tools. And let me tell you, WordPress is such a great tool to use. And that's why we're so excited to have them on as a sponsor. I use WordPress.com every day. And let me tell you, whether you're looking to create a personal blog, a business site, or both, creating your website on WordPress.com has never been easier, and it helps other people find you, remember you, and connect with you. You don't need any experience. You don't need to hire anyone. You don't need to hire a coder or designer or anything like that. WordPress.com guides you through the entire process from start to finish. WordPress takes care of the technical side, so it's super easy to get your site up and running, and you want it to look good, right? We want to present ourselves out to the world. We want to look as good as we can. Thankfully, WordPress.com has hundreds of beautiful designs to choose from. I get lost in picking templates. This is a confession I'm going to make. I will go to WordPress and browse through all the beautiful templates and install them and see how my site will look in it. It's a hard time picking. It's like picking the right outfit. You want to pick the right template. WordPress is amazing. When you set up your site on WordPress.com, you'll also get a built-in search engine optimization and social sharing. Their business plan lets you access hundreds of plugins and themes. And if you ever need help, their customer support team is made up of WordPress experts eager to help you get the most from your website. They're available to help you 24 hours a day, Monday through Friday, and weekends too. Plans just start at $4 a month. And listen, 29% of websites run on WordPress. Just take a moment to let that sink in. 29% of the websites are on WordPress. It's clearly they're getting something right, and you can get something right too. So get started today. Get 50% off any new plan purchase. Go to wordpress.com/allaboutandroid. Create your website and find the plan that's right for you. That's wordpress.com/allaboutandroid for 15% off your brand new website. And we thank WordPress for their support and making us look good on the web. Thank you, WordPress.
Thank you, WordPress. I will admit, just before we jump into apps, that I ate a cookie.
Yeah, I know you did, and I was like, oh.
And it was really good.
Thanks for offering me one.
So jealous.
Make sure to stick around after the credits, and you'll see what cookie I ate. This is a good one. All right, it's time to jump into our apps segment.
So getting lost in the holiday hubbub and then the CES hubbub, I wanted to call out the fact that there's a new app from Google called Files Go. And I thought this I assume most of you heard of it. I don't know if you guys on the show have heard of it or not. But when Google launches a File Explorer app, I feel like we need to take notice of this.
Yeah.
And not only is it a File Explorer app, but it is also a very handy help you manage your files on your phone space storage app. So much so that, like, I'm looking at it right now and it's telling me, hey, you got 792 meg of temporary app files. Get rid of them. I've got 1.26 gigabyte of large files, as it calls, which is very general. One of my favorite ones that it highlighted for me was low resolution media and memes.
Yeah.
Memes.
And yes, memes. It's identifying what are memes and suggesting I free up 15 megabyte of low-res media and memes. It's also identifying duplicate files, which I think is fascinating, as well as reminding me that I have over 2 gig of files in WhatsApp media folder because I chat a lot on WhatsApp, and that's why. This is great. It also helps you find unused apps. And then, you know, aside from the whole storage thing, there's a straight up file, a file explorer that allows you to access your downloads folder, your apps, images, videos, audios, documents, etc. Pretty good app. I would like to access the file system completely. Like, for example, I haven't been able to track down the screenshots folder that I have on this. So I go to another one for that. It might be under images, might be all mixed in there, but oh yeah, it is. It's under images. There it is. See, I found it already. This app has got everything. So very cool job on Google. So Files Go. If you don't got it, this quickly became a must have for every when I install a phone. You know, like I'm like, oh, I need Files Go now. So
you missed a really big feature of this, actually, and it works really well as this transfer.
Oh, the wireless transfer? Yeah.
The wireless transfer. It sets
like AirDrop.
Up. It, yeah. Yes, exactly. It's like AirDrop, but it's a little bit more purposeful. It's like each person, yes, has to have Files Go installed in order to do it, but it transfers via Bluetooth file transfer. It's actually really quick. And yeah, it's really easy to use. I would just tap send, the other phone receive. It would recognize that we're in the same space and give me a prompt to hit okay, you know, select all the files to send and go for it. And Corey, I'm curious to ask you about if you are familiar at, or if you've heard of this app, because from what I understand, Google has been doing a lot of work on their apps. And this, I think, is part of that work to make it better for the devices that are released in emerging markets, because, for example, you know, this is very focused on storage space and freeing up the space in your device. A lot of devices in emerging markets, like we were talking about earlier, you know, might be lower cost devices. And in many cases, that comes at the cost of storage space. There isn't a whole lot of storage space. Also lower, you know, lower bandwidth capabilities in certain areas. And so this would be an app that Google has made partially to allow those devices to be a little more resilient in those areas. Have you kind of seen some of these efforts by Google to cater to the emerging markets in that regard?
Well, I haven't been watching it because I've been on my sabbatical, but yeah, I mean, I believe they called the new effort at Google I.O. something Go, like Android Go. So it sounds like this is in that umbrella. So it's definitely a welcome addition, and it's just more usable in general to be able to figure out where all your files are. Like I do, you know, obviously manage my files now, but it's kind of annoying. So
yeah,
it's nice that they finally have a canonical one.
Well, yeah, and if you look at the third-party file managers, that I mean, you can find all shapes and sizes of apps. Obviously, developers have tackled this problem for years, but a lot of those apps are just like do everything apps, and you open them up, and I mean, you get lost in the amount of features that are there, which. For some people, that's really useful. For other people, like, I just want to, like, you know, quickly trim my files and reduce the space because I got a warning that says I'm low on space. And I think this really seems to do that very well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
like that button in Google Photos.
Yeah, exactly.
Free up.
It's like that button, but in an app updated. For everything. Is kind of what Files Go is. Duo. We you may or may not have ever used Duo to make video calls.
Hey,
I've actually used it a good
amount. Yeah, my iOS friend. My best iOS friend just came on Duo.
Nice.
Just to chat with me.
I actually really like Duo a lot. The more I use it, the more I want to use it. And there's a new update that enables Duo calls on devices that don't even have the app installed. So
yeah, that's how you do it.
There you go. When Allo was first introduced about a year and a half ago, it did this right from the get-go. It enabled a feature called app preview messaging. Mm-hmm. Google had said at the time that it was going to open it up to third-party developers. We haven't really seen that very much, but that's what Duo is doing here. So if you are on Duo and you call the right Android device, it will actually allow you to make the call, and that person, even though they don't have Duo installed, will still get the whole experience. And then when they're done with that call, it'll take them to the Play Store and say, do you want to install this for future calls?
How are you video messaging me?
I know. Wouldn't that be kind of weird, though? I mean,
how did you get my FaceTime? That's not FaceTime.
It's kind of it's kind of strange that it would just appear, though, and you'd suddenly see the knock-knock video.
That's how technology should work, darn it. It just works. It doesn't matter.
As long as it's not off-putting, because I could also see someone being really freaked out about the fact that their phone suddenly has that person's face on it live in real time, and they didn't do anything to enable it.
Yeah, I really like Duo, but I don't think they have it on web at this point, do they? They do have an Allo web.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I don't think that there is a web version of Duo.
That would be really helpful if they did, because the video is really nice. I like Knock Knock, but I don't like holding my phone if I'm going to do a long call. And because most of my friends and family and loved ones do not live where I live right now, just because I moved across the country last year, I do a lot of video calling. So it's really frustrating to hold it.
Yeah, I was just in the airport the other day and I saw people FaceTiming, and I was grousing to my wife about how I can't stand FaceTime or Duo and all that sort of stuff. And she's like, just because you don't do it doesn't mean other people can't. I'm like, right. And then she's like, well, let's get to the bottom of this. Why don't you like it? And it's for that reason. Like, we have this vision of the Jetsons
where we can like have a video call and the person will be there and all that sort of stuff. And in the reality, you have to hold it at this awkward angle. People do it while they're walking and it's all that movement and the wind and all that sort of stuff. You get too close and it's like, and it's really just distracting. And I don't know how we want to have video conferencing. That's a great thing. The desktop does it great, like we're doing now with Skype, and I've got a camera and all this sort of stuff. But from the phone, I'm never happy with the angle I'm seeing for coming back to me. I can't imagine they're happy with seeing my fat chin. So it's just, it's not there yet. That's my problem. We need another paradigm. I don't know why.
My favorite is when they FaceTime in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's not good.
It's my favorite.
So I was just sitting here and I thought, might as well call you.
No, this is a whole thing we could have a discussion about, society's use of phones. I'm just saying.
Phones are everywhere, literally everywhere. I think we've solved this problem when my phone can be on the desk the way it is 90% of the time, and the video call is actually a holographic projection above the phone.
Help
and
me,
I'm
everyone.
Looking at the person talking to them. Girl, going, hey, how's it going? See, wouldn't that be awesome? That's easy, right?
Sure.
Yes. Sure. It should be, but it's not. Flo, what's the next story?
Well, the next story is a bunch of selfies from us, because like the rest of you on the internet, we also contributed our face to Google's lovely arts and culture app, which will snap your selfie and then find an image in the vast library of art that exists in the world and, well, basically tell you what you resemble.
Who you look most like.
I got to say, a lot of time these like, you know, meme type apps really run with it.
Yeah, but I'm the king of Spain.
This one ran like wildfire.
The king of Sweden. Yeah, I'm the really king did. Of Sweden. So Scandinavia, I'm coming for you and your people.
What do we have next? No matter what I do, I end up with this guy with a really big nose.
I love that you got this one because I feel like this is you in an alternate life.
I'm wondering if anyone got more than like a 50 or 60% match. This was 55%. So that's pretty good, I guess. What about Corey's? Let's see here. That would be the next one. We're almost there. It's linked in the doc. We've got all four of them. There we go.
Ooh.
Ah, nice. It's a portrait of H.I. Rorich? Probably Rorich.
There was Rorich. About four old women that gave me. They all had like white or gray hair.
There was no piercing though in that art.
That was a Russian theosophist, by the way. And there's Ron.
Portrait
of a goldsmith, yes.
44% match. Wow.
Ron is a goldsmith.
That is interesting. There's so many of these racing across.
I will say I've been learning. I didn't really look inside the arts and culture app before, and I realize now that this is the app that you want to download before you go on a big trip somewhere. Maybe you want to go look at museums. Like, this is a great way to familiarize yourself with the works that are being showcased, to kind of look a little bit on the history of the artists.
It's a cool app.
Yeah.
No doubt. Google was very smart to implement this feature, though, obviously, because this is like the number one app in some of the app stores. Here, I'll show you how it works. So is your portrait in a museum? Get started. I accept. Allow. There I am. Maybe
it's gonna
me
give
being
you that guy again.
Okay. There we go. It thinks a little bit, I'm assuming. Did it not? It locks up my phone.
Oh.
Smoke pours out of the battery case. Okay. Apparently it's not compatible with the OnePlus 5T. Well, whatever. There you go. You get to look at my selfie. Lucky you.
Someday it'll be on the wall of the museum.
It didn't need to find art. This is art. Don't you agree? No. Anyways, moving on from that, because that didn't work. I'm happy that wasn't my app in the arena.
Howl at the Moon.
I've heard that one before, Flo.
Oh, darn it.
Oh, that Flo. Real quick before we get into the arena, we got an email from Mark Prestash, who, and I'm going to summarize it because it's a really long email.
But I appreciate, Mark, that you sent this in. Basically, he heard me mention the Kindle Fire tablet for the kids edition and how they have a no questions asked return policy that Amazon offers that. Mm-hmm. And he basically wrote out his whole scenario about how it was everything but no questions asked. After 9 months, it stopped charging. He called customer service. He was on the phone a total of 4 hours over three different days to get it fixed every step of the way. You know, he says he was met with resistance, questions, hassles. At one point, he was told it was past its return date, and he says he had to show the representative on the Amazon website that they offer the 2 years of coverage for fixing or replacing. And basically, he ended up emailing Jeff Bezos, which apparently you can too, jeff@amazon.com. He got a reply back the next day from one of Jeff's assistants, many, I'm assuming, assistants, who said that Jeff had read the email and wanted to make things right. He was given $100 credit towards the next purchase, and they admitted that the hassle-free, no-questions-asked policy so clearly displayed on the website was not, in fact, what he had experienced. So they made good on that, but he did want everyone to know, like, his experience was so bad it really tainted his how he sees Amazon, and he just hopes that no one in the Android All About Android community ever has the same experience that he had with their tablet. So little PSA there for you. It doesn't always go well, even though they claim that it will. But one final thought, he does say, just like Ron, when I was in the market for an Android tablet a few months ago, I purchased the Asus ZenPad 3S10 tablet. I absolutely love the tablet. No regrets about buying it. Ron, if you haven't bought a case or a Bluetooth keyboard, he highly recommends the Finty brand Bluetooth keyboard and case from Amazon, which is $30, 4.5 star rating, 200 reviews. So there you go, Ron.
Not bad. I did buy a case. I didn't get one with the keyboard, but I did look at that one. So I hear you.
So there we go. A little PSA for you. Think about that when you buy that tablet. Thank you, Mark, for sending that in. Real quick, before we get into the arena, thank the final sponsor of today's episode. This episode is brought to you by Hover. Hover, building your online brand, has never been more important than it is right now. Your online identity begins with your domain name. And you know, you want to show the online community who you are, what you're passionate about. And it's easy when you register a domain name with Hover. Buying a domain name is the first and the biggest step to building your personal brand online. So if you're interested in theater or wine or whatever your interests may actually be, Hover has hundreds of extensions for you to choose from to really kind of customize what you get. .tech, .network, .security, .software, .CEO, .marketing, wine, golf, photo, you name it. You can go there, you can take a look, and you can find something that's super customized to exactly what you're looking for. And it'll help you stand out. With Hover, you'll also get a personalized email that matches your domain and further supports your online identity, the best-in-class customer support team, a clean user interface. The whole experience is super clean. Over 400 domain extensions to choose from. So it's going to take a little time, but you'll find the exact right one, and you'll stand out as a result. No upsells, free Whois privacy, and check out Hover's Connect feature, which allows you to connect your domain name to any host or website builder with a few simple clicks. Start building your online brand today. Go to hover.com/twit and get 10% off your first purchase. That's hover.com/twit. And we thank Hover for their support of All About Android and the Twit Network. And now it is that time. It's time we jump into the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
Just realized he's saying only one lives.
So many enter, only one lives.
Yeah.
Only one lives.
Dang.
Yeah.
Dang.
Two will enter, one will, yeah. Anyway, so this is the embarrassing part of the show I was not looking forward to. Jason, why don't we look at the results of last week?
Okay.
Which just shows that I think people voting don't actually watch the show sometimes.
Let's see here. So, or they didn't care, Ron. They just thought it needed to win. Smart Wallpapers apparently wins with 44%, even though it was a repeat.
It's a DQ.
Is it a DQ?
Is that how it's it goes? A DQ. Yeah. No, right. Wade County already made the call. It's a DQ.
All right. So even though it won with 44%, it will not register. I mean, maybe it registers as last place. I'm not really quite sure. But Plaid comes in the new first at 36%. And then mine was Kodak Real Film. 20% 20% of our fans are dedicated to real film and not digital in the movie theater. So there you go.
So what that means is, and I believe that the ruling is a DQ is 0 points as if you're not even on the show.
Which is
fair the way it should be. So with that, Jason, you were sitting pretty in first place after 2 weeks with 6 points. I've still got 5 points. The guests have 5 points, and Flo's got 2 points. So
that could change, and usually does. Week to week, especially this early on in the year. So
should I go first since I was DQ'd?
Yes.
I got 0 points? Yeah, let's do that. Okay.
I believe that's how it works.
I wanted to rebound with a strong app this week since I DQ'd last week. And I bring to you Proton VPN, unlimited free VPN made by Proton Mail. And if you aren't familiar with Proton Mail or Proton VPN, the Proton Group, these are a group of developers that met at CERN in Switzerland, and first they created an email platform called Proton Mail, and now they've rolled out Proton VPN, which actually came out about 6 months ago, I think, for iOS, and now just launched on Android. And here's the big thing. If you're worried about privacy, if you're worried about, you know, anybody snooping on your device or what you're doing, you want to get a VPN, which is a virtual private network. It will protect your privacy. It's going to hide your IP address. It lets you browse securely even if you're on a public Wi-Fi connection, and it lets you visit blocked or censored websites if you happen to be on a school network or some other work network or something like that is blocking stuff on their Wi-Fi. But this is why it's super interesting. This is the only VPN service that has no – it's free, has no ads, no malware, no bandwidth limits, and they're not secretly selling your user data. There is a free service, the base level, which Jason signed up for here with this, that lets you use their VPN services. It is limited in terms of what it can do. You can upgrade to a paid plan, which gives you more servers and more features and things like that. But if you don't want to pay anything and you just want a secure connection, this is all you need. And what's amazing is that they're not going to sell your data, and also they're not going to limit your bandwidth, which is that's how other VPN makers get you. They say, hey, we're going to give you this free VPN, but you can only transfer, you know, X gigabytes of data or megabyte or whatever. But Proton VPN, they're from Switzerland, which are neutral. They want to protect your privacy. So not only that, it's a real slick app. It shows you the countries you're connecting to where, you know, you can choose the server that you want to route your VPN through. Some great visualizations, some great use of material design. You can set up different profiles based off where you are or what, you know, what kind of setup you want. Honestly, if you use a VPN or if you have need of a VPN, I think this is your new choice. This is your new client. It's really, really impressive. It's super secure. They're using the IKE V2 protocol. So all your passwords and your data are staying completely encrypted. It's good stuff. So Proton VPN just, I think, changed the game when it comes to VPNs.
So. Right on. Proton VPN, unlimited free VPN by Proton Mail. Yep. Very nice. Good alternative. People get somewhat religious when it comes to their choices for VPN. So everybody has their reasons for either paying for a VPN service or feeling confident using a free service. So I suppose everyone do your homework for yourself, because everybody kind of chooses anyways what they feel comfortable with when it comes to their privacy online. This looks like a really good option. Yeah. I like the idea too, that it's, you know, sometimes VPN can be a little confusing depending on the service that you use, and they're like, you can pick random or do you just want the fastest and jump right into it?
Yeah, it can be super daunting. And they made once you sign up for a Proton Mail account and you get up on their system, you don't need to put any private data. You just choose a username and a password. It's really easy. But once you do that, it's smooth sailing and it's free, and they don't pressure you to go to any of the paid plans. The people who need the paid plans are going to pay for it. But if you are just want to protect yourself a little and want to do it for a low cost, totally great.
So. Awesome. All right.
So that is that, and that is Proton. That, in this case, is Proton VPN. I'll go next, because, I mean, I was also a loser last week. It's okay. We can admit it. I was a loser last week.
I don't know if I like this terminology.
I was the first loser.
I was the second loser.
You're all winners in my heart. Now
thank you.
Stop.
I appreciate it. All right, I'm bringing a game in here real quick. It was kind of a game week for me, and I had a number of games that I was looking at. And this is totally a game to pick up when you got just a few minutes to kill here and there. And they have plans to have person versus person play sometime in the future, which I think will make this even more fun. It's called string.io, and if you've ever played any of these IO games, a lot of them kind of follow a very similar format. I'll go ahead and jump into it here. And basically what you have is a play field that is, you know, a number of well, you'll see it's kind of here, let me get to the right level here. It's kind of a grid, and you move around. What I like about this game is it's kind of like that old school arcade game Quicks, where you try and get larger areas to claim your own, and you're basically just moving around trying to get a larger surface area, and that includes reclaiming the space that other players have out on the playing field. If they run into your line while you're out there, similar to Quicks, you will be done, as this random professional user just did to me, and you can just jump into another game and continue on. But you want to continue drawing these. God, I'm doing horrible. You want to continue drawing it out so that you get even larger spaces. And as you kind of work through the game, there's different challenges, like getting a certain percentage of the play field as yours, killing a certain percentage of other players, and there's a whole kind of market, you know, place that you can run down as well if you so choose. But it's, you know, there's really not a whole lot of depth. It's just kind of a fun game mechanic. And as is the case with a lot of these IO games, at some point these will actually be controllable by other people. So I could actually have online play where I'm playing against a bunch of live players in real time here. And that just kind of takes it up to another level when you know that all of these players are actually real and not just robots inside your machine. But it's a cool little game. It's called string.io. And, you know, it's free with ads. I think it's $1.99 if you want to remove the ads, which I suggest that you do. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. I like it a lot. String.io. Check it out for yourself. All right, so Corey, I have your app installed. I should preface this by saying that there was a time when this the app Headspace was a sponsor of this network. So they've definitely been on the network before. We've never brought them into the arena, though. So why don't you talk about what you really like about Headspace, and I'll show it off while you do that.
Sure. Yeah, I was actually really surprised to not see it in the list. I've been using it off and on for a year and a half, and pretty seriously for the last year. I use the paid service, obviously, because once you go through and do the intro level, you can do that for a few weeks, but it's kind of limited after you finish the basics. But I really like to use it for, I've actually gone through a ton of different packs. They have things like I want to increase my focus, or I'm panicking right now because I'm about to go on a video podcast. So how about I listen to this this meditation?
Wow, they get really specific.
Well, it's panicking. So it's general panicking.
Yeah.
And then it has a gamification angle to it as well that'll show all the different things that you've actually listened to. So you've already done a little bit of it. Yeah. So if you look at my journey, I really like the update they've done here recently. They actually show all the different things that you've done and which dates. For a long time, they didn't have dates at all. It was just circles on this really weird timeline. So it's really nice to actually see it a bit better of when did I actually meditate. And I had a 220-day streak going.
Nice.
A week and a half ago, because there's this bug, and I don't know the developers at Headspace. I've been trying to find them. So when you're offline, so I was on the tube, it doesn't always sync when you're done, and you have 48 hours to meditate, and I forgot one day. So it like lost one of them, and then I forgot one day, and then, oh no, there goes my streak.
Oh, that's a bummer.
But yeah, So now I'm on 10 days in a row. It's fine.
Honestly, the most important part about that, I realize gamification has, you know, brings with a certain level of challenge and all that kind of stuff. The most important part about that is, like, when it comes to meditating, the more days you do it in a row, the bigger benefit you actually get from it. So you didn't really miss any days. It's just the app didn't register it. You're still getting maximum benefit out of it. So that's awesome. That's awesome that you were able to commit yourself to that.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't something that I thought was worthwhile for most of my life, but I'm really enjoying it. And it's interesting because you start, you know, developing gratitude and you're just like, it's better to handle things that happen in life. I don't know. It's just, it's really nice. So I definitely recommend it. And I do recommend paying for the upgrade as well if you think you'll actually use it.
Yeah, and you can go through here and you'll see different categories like anxiety. You can do a free session from there. The full basics foundation, the first basics foundation is a really good way to start, and it's a full 10 days that you get for free. But yeah, I've noticed it's really nice to have the whole menu of options here depending on how depending on your headspace, I suppose.
Yeah, and if you go to the singles tab as well, I don't know if you have access to them or not. It's at the top.
There we go.
Basically, there's things like going to sleep, and this is where the panicking one. So the SOS, so they've got feeling overwhelmed, you're mad, panic, you know, things like that. So then you just go through those. So those are kind of nice to do. But they also have I'm walking in nature podcasts, meditations.
And they have ones for kids and everything. Yeah. Love it. This is good stuff. Headspace. It's kind of free to start, but it does have a service membership component to it. So if you want to hop on board, take a look at the price there. And yeah, there's nothing bad you can really say about meditation and mindfulness, really.
Yeah.
It can do is improve your life.
Yeah. And the app is super pretty. It feels materially. Like it.
Yeah, the app has really done well. I completely agree. Corey, thank you for showing that off. That's awesome. And Flo, I will say, this app was on my list. I was playing
around
with it.
Was it really?
Yeah. I was playing, but you beat me to it.
So sad.
So sad. See you later. What you got?
Well, do you all remember back in the day, you would just buy disposable cameras and then shoot all day, and then half the fun was finding out what came out of the Costco development envelope, which is where I had my photos developed in the 90s and early aughts. Well, this app is called Kodak Pro, which is like Kodak, but it's not. It's Kodak. This is made by a third-party developer. It's basically what it sounds like. It is a fun virtual disposable camera. If you pay, I think, about $1, you can unlock the ability to see the photos instantly as you take them. But if you don't pay, then you have to wait until you finish off the roll, just like on our original disposable camera, 24 exposures. And by the very end, then it takes about a day to fully process, because that's how long it would take for you to drive to Costco, drop off the film, have your mom buy a pallet of muffins because she was probably gearing up for the week, as my mother did. We'd put them in the freezer, and then he would come back.
See, right there shows you drove to Costco while I imagine the rest of us drove to the photo mat, which was a little hut in the parking lot.
Yeah, I grew up in the 80s. Suburbs with all the like big box stores. Yeah. So I grew up with doing all the stuff at Costco. Now, I really like this app. I paid for it, the $1 to unlock it, because you can do things like, all right, now I got a purple. You know, purple's my favorite color.
It looks like a real disposable camera.
Every time you snap a photo, you can physically rotate the...
Oh, turn up the volume, though, because it's got a really nice sound. Oh, yeah, I don't know. Maybe you have it muted, actually. Oops.
Quiet, you. I wasn't talking to you.
Assistant, go away. You're not assisting. You're getting in the way, assistant.
It just got very upset that I said that. So you shoot with the shutter button, and then you... Oh. Okay, the sound isn't playing. Sorry.
Oops. That's okay.
Do not want to tell a friend. You can do self-timer. You can select whether or not you want the date on it. You might not want it on there because it'll come out in a part of the photo. Because I unlocked this, I can also go into the... I have a whole library where I can go see every... A lot of it is pictures of me in a face mask. Because that's when I test things, is when I'm doing my facial routine. This is just test photos I was taking. You can import. So hold on. I'm going to move this for away for a second. I'm going to show you something I'm going to import here. So let's take this beautiful picture of Vegas. And you can go back. Thank you, Victor. And now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go into the develop. There we go. And it has been converted into an analog photo. It just looks like it's blurry. The colors are a little off. There's often light leaks. Let's see. Let me make sure there's nothing incriminating on here. You never know in this world. Nothing incriminating on here. We can show this. Couple photos I ran through here from this is inside the Venetian. This is me with a bib on at a Korean barbecue place. This is an emo selfie I took because I wanted to see how close to like that high school experience I could get. You know, this is a lot of way I took pictures between 2000 and 2003. You can run a scenery photo in there. It'll make it look cool and vintage. This is a Vegas, the Palazzo right across. So when you're ready, you can just save it, share it, get rid of it if you want, or just use it so that you're going out shooting. So here's the viewfinder, and it works front-facing camera and rear camera. It's fun. It's Kodak Pro. It's Kodak Pro.
And that's Kodak.
Kodak.
K-U-D-A-K.
Pro.
Kodak.
Kodak Pro. And again,
really toeing the line for lawsuits.
Yeah, I know, right? They got about as close to that line as they possibly could. Yep. Right on. Kodak Pro. All right. It's that time where you place your vote for your favorite app this week. Go to twit.to/AAAPoll352. twit.to/AAAPoll352 for episode 352. And tell us which is your favorite app this week. Is it ProtonVPN? Is it String.io, Headspace, or Kodak Pro? Place your vote. Let's check in on it next week. But Victor is, sometimes he sets the...
I know. He went
for the Kodak.
What? That's Victor's gift to me for having worked so hard at CES.
Yes. Thank you, Victor. That's all it takes.
It looks fun.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's cool.
Do it the unpaid way and see if it's fun. It is fun.
I mean, hey, sometimes it's nice to impose limits on yourself in life, right?
It brings back that spirit of pointing and shooting.
Right.
And
not everything has to be immediate gratification. Let's wait for things again. Let's go back to waiting for things.
That's right, me.
Oh, and unlike having the Fuji instant cameras nowadays, like, and then when you're at Disneyland and you see people like holding up the instant picture and taking a picture with their
Instax right there. Yeah, Corey's got it. Show that again, Corey. The Instax. What is that? Yeah, those are awesome. I got those for my nieces. Yeah.
I don't know if I've seen those before.
I just gave one to my cousin, my old
one. They're
great. How expensive are they? Are they?
Oh, they're like $60, $70 bucks. You can buy them in bulk at Costco. They come with a bunch of film already.
Oh, wow. What's old is new again.
Yep.
Awesome stuff. Corey Ladislaw, really appreciate you taking time to be our guest tonight. It was a lot of fun having you along. Thank you for joining us and taking time out of your Tuesday.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So you're on a sabbatical right now. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of taking a break. And I think many of us are a little jealous about that. What do you want people to know about finding you when you emerge from the sabbatical? Or where should people go to find all about the stuff that you have worked on?
Yeah, actually, I am emerging now, I think.
Okay.
Starting to think about moving internationally. So I'm eyeing London and Berlin right now, but might consider other places. We'll see. But as far as finding me, I'm on the Twitter at Corey Ladislaw and then also CoreyLadislaw.com. I'll probably be speaking at a conference near you sometime soon.
Awesome. If and when you're in the area, let us know. We would love to have you up at the studio if you're ever around and you want to make the trek up. It's always a lot of fun to get folks in the studio. It brings a whole other energy to the show and it's a cool experience. So
yeah, it's not that far.
Yeah. Well, okay. Now wait a minute, but back up though. You said you're in London right now?
No, I was. I'm in San Francisco as of Saturday.
Okay, because you said that, and I was like, wait a minute. It's 3 o'clock in the morning in London. And I haven't apologized for that yet. Okay.
Which we usually do profusely.
Which we do, because we have guests on from time to time, and it's like 4 o'clock in the morning when they come on. Anyways, we would love to have you back. Just let us know if and when you feel comfortable and want to come back. We would love to have you. Thank you.
Okay, awesome.
Thank you for hopping on tonight. It's a lot of fun.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks. Flo, what about you?
I'm still recovering from CES right now, so you're not going to see a lot from me this week. I'm just tired. My brain needs a break. CES was interesting. I'm transitioning a lot more to smart home these days, so if you're interested in what I'm writing about the smart home, you can actually just follow me at florenceiron.com for now. And if you're looking for my Android musings, I'm still writing once in a while for Android Authority about Android. It's kind of a quiet time right now anyway in the Android world, so there's not much to say.
Until the S9.
Until Mobile World Congress, there's really not much to say right now, other than I'll just be talking to people in Silicon Valley and seeing what's going on.
Cool.
You know?
There's not much to say about smartphones, but we will certainly try because we have shows every single week.
There's a ton to say about, Google Assistant, because there's a lot of stuff coming out from that. So I'm just chasing where Google's going.
Cool.
Sounds to the home.
That's a good chase. It's a good chase. What about you, Ron?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at RonXO and on Instagram at RonXO. That's where a lot of my nonsense is posted these days. And I'm working on some cool stuff that's going to come out this year. I know I've been teasing some stuff for the past few months, but things are starting to come together. So I should have some fun stuff to share. So that's about it.
I love fun stuff. Interest.
I know. Fun stuff's great. I'm a fan of fun stuff. I know Victor's a fan of fun stuff too. Victor, thank you for all the fun stuff that you did today on the show. You can find me at yellowgoldmusic.com, jasonhowell.net. That's really about it. Tech News Weekly. I'm doing new screensavers this weekend. So if you want to send in some Android related questions for that, email newscreensavers@twit.tv and Leo and I can, maybe answer those on the show. Maybe do you a solid there. But that is it for this week. Leave us a voicemail for this show, 347-SHOW-AAA. Send us emails at AAA@twit.tv. Find us on Twitter. We're at Android Show. Arena apps, the whole list can be found at twit.to/Android apps. And big thanks to the folks who maintain that each and every week. Show notes and past episodes can be found at twit.tv/AAA. You'll find all our episodes there, all our show notes. And if you want to catch the live stream, you can every Tuesday around 5 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live. Or you can come into the studio. We have a gentleman here who is here in the studio. It's been awesome having an actual person in here. Email tickets@twit.tv and you can sit in on the recording of the show. That is it for this week, everyone. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everybody.
Woo!
Bye. It's time to eat some Oreos. Are you ready to eat some Oreos?
Yes.
We'll do it here in the pre-show.
Yes, I am.
I said last week I went on a tear. I went on an Amazon tear. I spent probably too much money.
Did you get the ones with Tide Pods?
No, although
the number of people who really wanted to send us the Tide Pods joke is a lot.
Seriously, why are people eating these things?
I bet you it's just like raspberry and like cherry or something weird and fruity.
Well, I don't think it actually exists. I think it was just a Photoshop.
It's a Photoshop job.
I doubt it.
I'm sure, but if it did exist, this is what I imagine it would be.
I was like, I don't think they do that, Flo. like blueberry and raspberry. That would actually be an interesting flavor. But seriously, kids, don't eat Tide Pods. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, don't.
Just because they don't taste
die.
Like anything when you put it in your mouth doesn't mean it's not going to kill you.
Actually chemicals.
Which is why they need to put an outer coat on those things to make them taste repulsive.
Well, they made them so that children can touch them and not like be poisoned by putting their fingers in their mouth. That's why they're in pods now.
Yeah, but still have a really bad sour taste to them. So people, the minute they put it in their mouth,
like
they spit
cabbage.
It out.
Sour cabbage.
Worse than cabbage. Worse. Okay, but today's flavor that you actually can eat, if you can find them, which you probably can't unless you're crazy like me and you go on Amazon, is chocolate hazelnut Oreo. Have you ever heard of this flavor?
Oh, you gotta be kidding me. Really?
Yes.
Oh, look. You have to put some in a Ziploc bag and send it to Ron.
I'm not kidding you at all. Chocolate hazelnut.
I love hazelnut. Oh, man.
So do I.
I'm actually drinking hazelnut coffee right now, which, again, is going to backfire on me in about an hour.
Yeah, this is going to, it's going to be like Battle of the Hazelnuts. So I'm sorry that I can't get the thing open. Okay, there we go.
Oh, I can't wait for this one.
I got to say, I mean, right off the top, it looks really good. It's got so your. Good. It's actually like a vanilla cookie with a hazelnut chocolate
it looks
on the inside.
So good.
I'll toss it to you.
It looks, it's like inverted. Interesting. Yeah. Is that a
Uh huh. I think I'm going to really like this. Do you guys like Nutella? Corey, have you ever had Nutella?
I love Nutella. Sometimes I eat it with a spoon out of the jar.
Yes. That's what I'm talking about. How about sometimes you eat it sandwiched in between two vanilla cookies? That's what I'm going to do.
I'm dipping it in my coffee.
And I kind of wish I was in the studio right now.
I'm sorry.
That's actually really, really good. Yeah, it works.
I mean, this is the a flavor combination that was made for each other. What do you think?
I'm in heaven right now. I don't want to do the show. I just want to eat cookies.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The show has been canceled. We're going to eat some cookies.
I'm very jealous of those.
They do a good job on the package selling it too, right? Like it's like a jar of Nutella essentially.
We do need to send
if that doesn't move items, I don't know what's going
we
to
need
do
to send them to Ron.
So what is what are the ratings? What are the ratings of chocolate hazelnut Oreo?
Here you go, Burke's claw hand thing. Oh boy, if I had to rate this. 8, 9, somewhere around there. I mean, it's definitely higher end.
I think it's a 9.
It's high scale.
It's right underneath the original Oreo. That's how good it is.
Yeah, it's really good.
Did you get a second one, or is that your first one?
This is my first one.
Very good. I shoved the whole thing in my mouth.
I didn't want to bog everybody down. I'm going to hold on to this. It's going to be really good with my coffee later.
I do not want another one. I should not have another one.
There will be more after the show is done, right?
Although I didn't eat very much at CES last week, so I've got some eating to make up for.